Hey, what's up, everybody? It's time for the Daily Replay for September 11, 2019. Well, a quick look back at the Monday Night Football results. The Saints defeated the Texans in what very quickly became a classic, 30-28. The Texans looked to be in control pretty well leading up to halftime. There was a very interesting officiating error right before halftime that affected the Saints. Shocker, something the officials did hurting the Saints. That forced them to attempt a long field goal that they did not hit. But they came out after halftime really booming and took it to the Texans. Actually managed to pull ahead by 6 points with just under a minute left. And then 2 plays later, the Texans scored a touchdown and then seemed to miss the extra point, which left the game tied. But then there was a roughing the kicker flag on the extra point attempt. So they got to re-kick, which then put them up 28-27 after making that. So then, several plays later, the Saints, with 4 seconds left, managed to kick a 58-yard field goal, a career-long for Will Lutz, to win the game as time expired, 30-28. Just an incredible game from both sides. Really saw the upside that both of these teams have. Some great offensive plays, some great defensive plays. Definitely two teams to watch this year. The Saints were very thankful, though, to escape some bad officiating to actually win this one. Hopefully that exercises some demons that they're dealing with. And the other Monday night game, because it was a doubleheader, the Raiders shook off all that offseason drama and beat the Broncos 24-16. This one was also a very interesting game, just a lot of things to see new for both these teams. The Raiders definitely have a gem in Josh Jacobs. He is ready to be a full-time back. He carried the ball 23 times, rushed for almost 100 yards, and rushed for 2 touchdowns. Looked very, very, very good and very comfortable in the backfield. And even though the Broncos were unable to score a lot of touchdowns, they got within field goal range 3 times. We did also see Joe Flacco connect with Emmanuel Sanders for a touchdown. Now, both those guys looked good. There's definitely something special brewing there. Some work to be done on the Broncos' offense, but the defense looked pretty solid. And the offense definitely has the tools, and they don't look far off. I think it's just going to be a little more time with them. And then, speaking of the Broncos, a former Bronco, Demaryius Thomas, is on the move. Patriots have traded him to the New York Jets for a 2021 sixth-round pick. With Antonio Brown now officially at the Patriots, they had one too many wide receivers. So naturally, they traded the one who wasn't owed a lot of guaranteed money and was also still recovering from an injury to some extent. So it makes sense. And the Jets were definitely desperate for some wide receiver help. Coach Adam Gase on Monday was just livid when talking about the receivers group from their loss to the Buffalo Bills. Their first and second receivers managed a combined 4 catches. It was slot receiver Jameson Crowder, who had 11 catches in the game for 99 yards. That's not great when it's your slot receiver who's doing all of the catches for you. Obviously, it's good to have a good slot receiver, but the guys on the outside should be doing something too. So hopefully Demaryius Thomas is an upgrade for them. Let me rephrase that. Demaryius Thomas is definitely an upgrade for them. He's also a veteran presence as the next closest player to Demaryius Thomas's age, who's 31, is Robbie Anderson, who's 26. So definitely some age and experience there to help them. They also signed kicker Sam Ficken, who spent the offseason with the Packers trying to push Mason Crosby for the job. Of course, Crosby kept it. Definitely looked good all offseason. So, but the Jets needed a new kicker after picking up Vedvik off of waivers from Minnesota. Vedvik looked great at the start of the preseason in Baltimore. Went to Minnesota and didn't look very good. The Jets seemed to think that they could get the Baltimore version of him. They did not. He missed an extra point and a field goal in that 17-16 loss to the Bills. I don't know how good you are with math, but the extra point would have had the game tied, and the field goal would have had them winning. So definitely a lot of points left there, and it's no wonder that he is now looking for a new team yet again. So Odell Beckham Jr. plans to continue to wear his $200,000 designer watch on game days. Not specifically for game days. He says he wears it literally everywhere. So he refuses to take it off. He says it's made of plastic. And his argument is that folks wear knee braces and other braces that are metal and much harder than a watch, so the watch shouldn't be a problem. It's no worse than any other jewelry that's allowed. He also states that he feels like he's being targeted and you know, picked out of the crowd, but no one else is running around wearing $200,000 watches. This is just the guy, if you ask me, who just wants to be in the news and then now is complaining about being the news. Kind of sounds like another wide receiver that we've talked about a lot lately, whose name I shall not mention. I already did once. So we'll see what happens if anything comes from the NFL talking with him about it. But he probably, like I said, needs to focus a little more on what's going on with his team in Cleveland and less about his stupidly expensive watch. And then Gerrion Conley, going back to the Raiders for a minute, left the game with a neck injury. He was stretchered out, gave a thumbs up as he was taken off the field. Tweeted out that he is okay. We also got the same news from Coach Gruden. Said the testing was more precautionary, at which, of course, makes sense. Anytime there's any sort of neck injury, you want to make sure there's nothing in the neck or the spine or any of those places. But he says he's good. Just hurt, basically. No structural damage, no weaknesses or anything. So looks like he'll be good to go for Sunday. May have to miss a week just depending on some soreness and mobility stuff, but overall, escaped major injury, seems to be in good spirits, so very, very good news there. And then just a little bit of basketball news. The FIBA World Cup is still ongoing. The favorites, Serbia, who lost to the U.S. at the Olympics and the last World Cup, definitely the favorites to win the gold this year, or at least to push the U.S. for it, lost in the quarterfinals to Argentina, 97-87. Argentina said they were not surprised that they won. They felt like they could do it the whole time. Everyone else in the world, though, definitely did not expect this result. So definitely shakes up the semifinals. Also joining them in the semifinals is Spain, who defeated Poland 90-78. Spain had to go on an 11-0 run at the end of the game to pull that one ahead. So got those two. U.S. play in the morning, this morning, rather. So we'll see who ends up being our semifinalists. But, you know, kind of up in the air for anybody now. Definitely the U.S. in a good spot to take it if they can get past France. So that is it for today's Daily Replay. Thank you all so much for joining me, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye.